It's the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to email today, by God, it's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. So here's my thing. Oh, by the way, I should tell you that coming up at the bottom of this hour, Jim Roop's going to be here to talk about greased-up students. No, wait, are the students greased up? No, it's a pole that's greased. Well, you know what I'm talking about.
Maybe. Some kind of metal object.
Oh, yes, a metal object. Ah! Zing. Teachers and students, and then there's a whole bunch of grease. So he'll be talking about that as part of our ongoing something to serve somebody or other here at CBS Radio. That's coming up at 1:30. Later on in the 2 o'clock hour, Scott Daly's going to be here, as well as Aaron Geek in the City, Duran. They'll be stepping in. Wait, hold on. Aaron.
Hold me. Like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Geek in the City, Duran.
So I've never seen Star Wars. What's that new
one? You never saw Revenge of the Sith?
No, I didn't see any of the new ones.
Well, you really only need to see that one.
Okay. I don't think I saw that one either.
You saw, now Tim, you saw Phantom Menace, but not Attack of the Clones.
Right, because somebody told me not to waste my money on it.
That person was right. That person was your friend. And then,
yeah, so what kind of creature is that doing the no?
You don't know?
No.
I don't want to ruin it for you.
Must be a Jar Jar Binks type of thing.
Why are these people calling? Hold on, let's find out. Hi, Rick. Okay, thanks. Hi, Rick. Calling from Inside a Blender. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Rick, I have a playlist suggestion.
Okay.
The Rizzillos. Somebody's going to get their head kicked in tonight.
By who?
The Rizzillos.
Oh, the Rizzillos. I know those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of a Ramones kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Even
someone's going to get their head kicked in tonight. Thank you, sir.
And also, I'd like to either have a party name or a band name for you here.
Okay.
It's Plastic Monsoon, knowing your listener's affinity for implants.
Plastic Monsoon.
Yes.
Okay. No idea what we're talking about, but thank you.
That would be your band name or the party title.
Okay, Plastic Monsoon. All right, excellent. Thank you, George.
Take care.
All right, there you go. Thanks. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm wanting to get your
body. All right, thank you. Yes, the funny voices.
Rehearsed that
funny
for like 3 days.
Funny voices will be your demise on this show. If I answer the phone, we don't have a lot of rules here. If I answer this and I hear a funny voice, an accent, anything sounds like it's from a Jerky Boys record, that's immediately the end of your call.
I think it's because it's morning show material.
I picked it up and he was still talking.
You're
gone.
Dude, you got bounced like 3 seconds
yeah.
ago. No, there's very, very few things that will immediately get you kicked to the curb on this show, but one of them is calling at the show and talking as a zany character. And so just for let's avoid the calls for a while. Just to sort of get that taste out of our mouth. Some people on hold, we'll get them if you wait. I got to read a couple things here, though. Rick, I've got the new Morrissey album, Ringleader of the Tormentors. Okay? And it's really good, he claims. Much better than the last thing he put out, so it's all relative. I hate to use the words return to form, but this one is definitely, listen for it, more rocking and a more confident-sounding Morrissey. Rock on, Peter from Montevilla. Montevilla? What the hell is it? Where is that? Montevilla. Well, whatever. So you didn't see Revenge of the Sith. All right.
God, no.
But don't say God, no.
I'm sorry, Star Wars doesn't appeal to me.
Okay, but you've seen them, though. Nate's made you watch the other Star Wars films. Come on now. He made you watch Rocky. Did you ever finish Rocky?
I finished Rocky.
Did you ever finish Die Hard?
I don't know.
You don't know!
I don't think so. No, I haven't seen any of the Star Wars movies.
Come on now. Are you screwing with me? Is this like a zany thing that you're doing just to...
No, because I parked behind this car the other day and I was with Nate and I'm like, what is that bumper sticker mean? It said like... The droids.
These are not the droids you're looking
for. Yeah. I'm like, what's that?
Oh, come on. Was he properly outraged?
Yeah, he was a little astounded that I hadn't seen it.
Well, so it's pointless to have you watch Revenge of the Sith.
Probably.
That is actually just so beyond the pale, I don't even know how to respond. So we're not going to worry about it.
Let's talk about listener party stuff.
Let's talk about the listener party.
I was hanging at Sabala's last night.
Mm-hmm.
Sang some karaoke, which I think that we'll have that night,
now,
too.
Now, this is because the listener party, 7 to 9, 7 till 9 is when it's scheduled. But, you know, we always go, like, hours and hours and hours over time.
Yeah, and then, I have the next day off.
And then, so you're not, wait, hold on, so you're not going to Coin the next day?
Nope, I'm
kind of cheap. Why we're not going to be
cheap?
We want to be able to see you suffer. We want to be able to tune. Look,
like anybody who's going to the party is going to be up at 5 a.m.
I would get up just to see you in front of the. Are you in front of a green screen there?
Yes.
I would just to see you in front of the green screen, just looking all woozy, listing back and forth.
No,
I would
that
totally,
shift is covered.
Who else were we talking to that took the day off? I was talking to
a bunch of my friends took the day off.
I got listeners that have emailed Kara, who's one of our listeners. You know Kara. She's like, I have already scheduled 3 weeks in advance. I scheduled the day off, and so there's a whole bunch of people who are like, I am dear employer. I am not coming to. I plan to be ill on whatever. So there, you know. So there's a whole bunch of people. So you're not going to be on the next day. But yes, so there's at 10 p.m. I think in the sideshow they. Lounge, which is the smaller of those two rooms he kicks into the karaoke thing,
mm-hmm.
where you will be able to find Sarah Dillon karaokeing drunkenly. Did you karaoke last night?
Oh, God, I did. I'm so embarrassed.
I find that hard to believe. Yeah. Into what?
I sing Wilson Phillips, Hold On. My friend Amanda.
Why would Sabalas have that?
I don't know. They didn't have... I really wanted to sing Journey, Don't Stop Believing, which is
what... Who really
what,
wants to sing Journey?
Which is what my request for the band is.
Journey?
Journey. Who doesn't love that song?
Me? Wait, what song?
Don't Stop Believing.
Don't Stop Believing. Because no one's ever playing that. Journey's not going
to
be...
Journey, who are coming to the amphitheater at Clark County. Tim just gave this to me.
When?
August 30th.
Well, there you go.
With Def Leppard.
You could...
At 7:30 p.m.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know, those Journey fans got to get to bed early. All right. Well, you can go get your Journey fixed there. You go have your Journey. The bigger than Jesus
band. They probably want to play Journey.
They don't want to play Journey.
How
and
do
I can
you know?
Because they want to play Dio. You cannot simultaneously. There is no band on earth that both wants to play Dio and Journey. That band doesn't exist. There's no way. That's like a guy who wants to eat bacon with ice cream. There's no way. Can I get a little mayonnaise in my soda? There's nobody who wants both of those things simultaneously. Those are not two tastes that they taste great together.
You can go see Don Rickles for $10. At Chinook Winds. I didn't even know he's still
alive.
He's still alive.
Let me see.
Tickets start at $10.
Oh, my God.
He still looks the same from the 1960s.
He's never aged. Don Rickles has never aged.
Well, he always looked old.
Isn't Bobby Vinton dead? Oh, that's Gene Pitney.
Yeah.
Where is this? Chinook Winds?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Cheap Trick is coming.
Yeah.
Last time I was in L.A.
And Gladys Knight's going to be there.
Last time I was in L.A., I saw Cheap Trick with Alice Cooper. It's the best show ever. Gladys Knight, who's a Mormon, by the way.
Oh, she is.
She is, and so are the Pips. Don Rickles, boy, he's either always looked... He either looks young for his age, or he's just always... He's reached a point where he can't age anymore. You know what I mean? Like, he's hit a ceiling.
He just always looked like Mr. Potato Head.
I know, his body is just like, no, this is it. I can't, we can't break down any further. We're in a holding pattern. I'm almost tempted to go see Don Rickles. Just because that's a school of comedy that, I mean, is when he dies, there's nobody else like Rickles left.
So he wasn't really a Rat Packer.
Sort of an honorary Rat Packer.
Yeah.
He was sort of like Shirley MacLaine, you know, just one of those guys sort of on the perimeter. But it's like, even in the Rat Pack, it's like you never see Joey Bishop, you know, in some way you do sometimes. But I mean, in half of those Rat Pack photos, they never show Joey Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ascending order of the Rat Pack was Joey Bishop, Peter Lawford, Sammy Davis Jr., Dean Martin, Frank. But Rickles was sort of on that's why he's in Casino, the Scorsese film.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Because Henny Youngman's dead, Dangerfield's dead, Shecky Green, all those guys are dead. Don Rickles is the last, he's got to be the last one around.
Buddy Hackett's dead.
Buddy Hackett's alive.
I think Buddy Hackett's dead or alive. Let's find out.
How about Benny Hill? He's got to be dead.
I think so.
Whatever.
He wouldn't be playing a shit of Quinn's, but you never know.
No.
Cheap Trick's going to be there.
Boy, this show's just completely just blown apart in the last 5 minutes. It's 503-733-2970. So here's the thing, though. So the listener party's coming up so that yesterday we assembled the band set list, or we put together a prospective set list for the band. And at one point, someone text messaged Sarah. Do you say texted? How do you say that in past tense?
Yeah, I guess texted.
Someone texted me? Boy, that makes you sound like a toothless Arkansan. Someone texted me during the show.
Wrote a text message.
It totally sounds like you're just barely trying to puzzle your way through the language. So someone texted Sarah during the show, and they said Striper, right? And this was your friend Lisa?
No, it's my friend Chicago.
Okay, and what Striper song?
Free?
Free to do what you want to. I don't know. I can't sing in that guy's falsetto, Michael Sweet's falsetto. Choose your own. Free is a terrible song.
So are you going to sing with the...
I will
is
not.
That, is that the big surprise?
No, the big surprise. No, the big relief is that I will not be singing with the Bigger Than Jesus Band. Free is a terrible song. It's off their most successful album, though, To Hell with the Devil. And it has, like, these horrible, corny echo effects. So here's what we're going to do right here. And then we're going to take some calls. And then later on, we get Jim Roop. But Striper, oh, Buddy Hackett, dead, by the way, just so you know. Striper is one of those things that, Striper is one of those things I think that is better in the abstract. Striper, you know what it is with Striper? It's kind of like when you talk to your wife or your girlfriend about guys she dated before you, and you kind of think it's a good idea, you think it's something you want to know, and then as soon as the story starts unfolding, you're like, oh, God, why did I want to know this? And it's like, but you can't turn it off. It's too late. She's like, you know, and then there was this one guy. I think he was a flight attendant. And his name was Tom, Tim, Ted. I don't know. I was so drunk. And it's like, we were in a lavatory. And I can't even remember. And you're like, oh, why? Would you shut up? You know, you don't even want to know. And so it is with Striper. Now, I have to tell you that, God love my wife, but she doesn't know a whole lot about the rock. My wife's knowledge of rock and roll is limited to Bon Jovi and stuff that she's heard me play. And that is not a knock on her. It's like, I don't really know a whole lot about, I don't know a whole lot about Death Cab for Cutie and the Indigo Girls. You know, so she kind of holds down the bland folk, rock in our house. And I hold down the metal. So she doesn't know a lot about rock, but even she last night, when I walked in, and she's like, you can't let them play Striper. And I said, why? And she goes, because Striper's, she said, it sounds good until you actually hear it. And then it's just like being kicked in the groin repeatedly. And so what I'm going to do, Sarah.
Well, that's a religious nutcase watch, isn't it?
The religious nutcase watch we use is it's a chunk edited out of the Battle Hymn of the Republic, which is a Striper song off Soldiers Under Command. So yeah, for the religious nutcase watch, did we ever play the whole thing for you?
No.
Oh, I'll bring that in one of these days.
Okay.
I've got the whole 5-minute version of, you know, His truth is... It's terrible. I mean, just play the close. Just play the, if you can, just play the religious nutcase close. This is Striper. Imagine 5 minutes of this.
It's so over the top like this the entire time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's terrible. Except it starts almost a cappella. It's just the cadence, the drum, and him going, mine eyes have seen the... It's terrible.
Oh, you've got to bring it in.
Okay, so I'm going to play some Striper now, though. Now, this is a real song. This is not a parody. This is not a joke. Not intentionally, anyway. This is an actual song. Quick background on Striper. When I was a kid, I'm going to get a sounder for that. When I was a boy, see, now the Christian nutcase folks, they've got their marketing down. You can be born, live your entire life, and die being completely wrapped in the bosom of uninteresting and unthreatening Christian art. And never having to hear anything that conflicts with anything, or never having to think for yourself, never actually having to hear anything that might challenge any of your beliefs. When I was a kid, though, the mass marketing of beige, uninteresting, white, Caucasian Christian culture to everyone had just begun. It was in its infancy. Not like now. You know, again, now you walk out the door and you trip over something being marketed to Christians. When I was a kid, they were just figuring out how to start marketing stuff to idiot Christian kids. And so Striper was their first big attempt with that. And they were huge for like 3, 4, 5 years. Striper was big. They were like double platinum. And I think they toured with Motley Crue actually at one point. They had like a Heaven and Hell tour kind of a thing. Couple things to know about Striper. They wore big bumblebee looking black and yellow outfits. Their stage had a huge neon cross and then blinking letters that said 777. Cause you know, 666. But then Jesus is one better. Jesus goes to 11.
No, that's not why.
Jesus goes to 7.
Really?
Yeah. And their biggest selling album was called To Hell with the Devil. Which I thought was badass because it came out when I was in 8th grade. And I'm like, yeah, it's just hell, rock. And the cover had some angels throwing a demon into a volcano, Anakin style. And so I thought it was all badass. I thought it was fantastic. It, of course, is neither of those things. It is not fantastic or badass. And as proof of that, I will now play you. This is for your knowledge, so you understand. Because I want you to know what you're getting into when you start suggesting Striper songs to be played. That they are much more interesting, they are much more satisfying, they are much more the everything until you actually hear them. So this is, Sarah, this is the title track to Stripers to Hell with the Devil, which came out in like 86, I want to say, or 87. Keep in mind this record went double platinum. And this is proof, by the way, that over-singing did not begin with black people on American Idol. So... And, of course, like all metal songs in the 80s, it takes like a minute and a half for it to even begin. That's got a really Queensryche guitar tone there. The eyes of a stranger. And picture this being sung by, like, one of the girls from Dynasty, but with a penis.
It, like, makes my head want to explode.
Oh, it gets worse. Here. You 80s rock. Yeah. It's sort of like Quiet Riot stripped of anything interesting. Now, on this next stanza... He starts singing, and it's even more upsetting, and then he hits a level that you didn't think was possible. Oh, just wait for it here.
It's making my stomach kind of shaky.
The Rick Emerson Show, believe it or not. All right, wait.
Don't say it.
Wait for it here. 3, 2, 1. Yeah!
Oh, I've got to see what this guy looks like.
Okay, but you just missed the best part. Wait. Check this part out, though. When he does the scream and then he says, "We are here to rock you!" And to say, all right?
Okay.
Oh, come on!
Oh, my God.
See why this shouldn't really be played in real life? I don't think that the crowd could take it. I think the crowd would... I think they would all just spontaneously combust. Devil! Raise your goblet of rock. I forgot about that. Yeah. Good times. Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah, it's like having each knuckle broken slowly. We'll be back after this for more and stuff. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Coming up, Jim Roop talks about schoolgirls and Greece. Don't go anywhere. Anytime. Make it stop. Show. Thank you for coming along. And I thought I was such a badass, though. Like, I listened to it because I was going to a Catholic school. Realize, I was going to a Catholic school, living in a hellhole town. Didn't know anything about rock. No used record stores. No Napster. None of that. No way to experience rock. Really. Didn't know anything about anything. I mean, you know the whole Bigger Than Jesus story. my mom was going through her religious zealot phase. The only place I was allowed to buy music was the Bible bookstore, that Christian supply store that every city has. And I heard this, and I'm like, at last, I am allowed to embrace the fiery bosom of all that is...
Did you think it was accidentally put in the store?
Not really, but I was like, at last, there is something rocking that I can... But even, no, it didn't work. And then it was like a year after this that I heard Led Zeppelin, and I'm like, oh, I see. It all makes sense now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503. I'm sorry, I just have to... There you go. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We're going to get these phone calls here in a second. We'll go to the city desk in just a skosh. And so forth. Coming up at 2, we got our good friend Scott Daly is going to be here in the 2 o'clock hour, along with Aaron Geek in the city, Duran. What else? We're going to be talking about Listener Party 9, which is coming up 13 days from now. We have this news pile stuff to get to as well. And I've been stockpiling bad jokes in case Steve from Vancouver should call back and want more stand-up material. I've actually branched out. I've started to prepare stand-up comedy for Steve in Vancouver in a variety of styles.
Well, I hung on to his phone number, so if we ever want to call him.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I've started to create Stephen Wright-style one-liners, and then I have a whole as though I were Jerry Seinfeld, Seinfeld bit that I've created. So, just in case. Let's welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show from Los Angeles. Jim Roop. I want all of our themes recorded by Stryper now. That's what I want. I want all of our music on the show recorded, because it'd be like, I love it, just a whole lot of... You know what I'm talking about. Hi, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. How are you?
Don't you think it'd be great if we could get one of the guys in Great White or just somebody who's doing nothing and needs the money?
Something just belts out the theme, man.
I think this is a fantastic idea. I think in order to capture that 30-something demographic... this whole program, we had to have everything reproduced by like a big hair band. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
And just
get that Zeppelin sound going.
Not even Zeppelin, just like straight on, like Maiden, like Iron Maiden, where it's just a. So instead of our soundbite of whatever, it would just be like, instead of like, here's the news with Tim Riley, it'd be like, here's the news.
Yeah, well, I used to love the sound of Rush too, man. They had a great sound.
Rush, as though you'd force Robert Plant and like Donald Duck to have a child together.
Wouldn't that be nice?
You and I, Rush is one of those bands that I worked in rock radio for so long I can never hear them again.
Oh, yeah, well, I understand that.
Because I had to play Tom Sawyer like every 5 minutes.
I understand.
It's a whole lot of bad. Although I saw them play 2112 all the way through one time in concert.
Wow.
It's fantastic. Dude, it was righteous. It's not like we're smoking a big bowl or something. Not that we would do that because I'm me and you are. Fine.
We don't condone it.
No, it's your body's a temple. Hey, let's talk about greasing.
Oh yeah.
Now,
isn't that a beautiful story?
I love
that principle.
I have to confess, I didn't even really read the story so much as I did a keyword search while scanning it, and I saw students, teachers. Greasing, and at that point I just circled it and made a note like to have on at 1:30. Best story ever. So this has something to do with immigrants.
Yeah, well, protest.
Okay, so this is the kids at the high school that were, there's a bunch of attention whoring little bastards that were just walking out of class as part of some alleged protest, right?
Right. This is day 3 or 4 of all this walkout stuff, and this principal at Artesia High School in Southern California had a bunch of axle grease on hand because. Some kid got killed off campus, and they thought that there was going to be some retaliation on campus. At least that was the rumor. So in an effort to keep would-be thugs off campus, and if they did come on, they'd be able to find them because they'd be covered in grease, he greased up the fences all around the school. So he had this axle grease sitting there, had a couple of gallons of it. So he said, you know what, let's keep the kids inside. Let's grease up the fences again and tell them that it's greased up so they don't, so they know they're forewarned. And, keep them inside. Well, about 300 kids jumped the fence anyway.
That's
parents
fantastic.
Got all upset. And the principal said, look, we told them they're going to get greasy, and the school board's backing them up. It's great.
Well, things have changed since when I was a student. So the school is entirely encased in a fence?
Yeah.
What is it, like Escape from New York or something in there? I mean,
your wire up in there.
Is that seriously the case that the school is entirely...
There's a lot of schools in Los Angeles that are fenced, yes.
And so is that to
and,
keep...
And they're gated.
Is that to keep fenced? Kids in or to keep nefarious elements out or both?
It's absolutely both.
All right.
And they will be honest and tell you that. It's to keep kids in class. Once they're on campus, those gates are locked and there's a security guard at the gate with a key in case there's a fire or an explosion or something
right.
like that. So they can get out. No one's going to be in danger. But it's also to keep bad guys off campus.
And so it does seem, though, when you hear about some guy like this, some principal at some school in Los Angeles, and he's having to grease up the wire to keep the kids in. I mean, it's sort of an equal mixture of, like, you feel admiration for the guy, and then also you just want to go, like, what the hell? Like, why would you take that job? What? I can't imagine. Do teachers, does that guy, like a principal, does he get paid well?
You know, I think they make about $65,000 a year.
Yeah, but that's... But
as a principal, you know, a frontline teacher's going to make $35,000-$40,000. You can't live that way.
I can't imagine. When I meet people occasionally, and I have some guys in my audience that, like, I'll see, you know, email, they're like, hey, I listen to you at school, I see you during, you know, when I have a free period or whatever, these teachers are emailing. And part of me is like, well, that's great, good for you. And then part of me is just like, you stupid bastard. Like, why would you ever... Not because it's not a noble career, but just because society just... gives the boot to those guys. I mean, it's just they don't get anything near like what they deserve. And I mean, it's got to be the worst job ever.
It's one of the worst jobs, that's for sure.
Is there a lot of violence in schools down there? I mean, it's a dumb question, I know, but I mean, like a teacher, does a teacher run the risk of getting like his ass beaten at some point?
I think the teachers, especially, and I can speak only from the LA Unified School District, in talking with teachers, and especially over the past couple of weeks. Teachers have to walk that line of being buddies with the students to protect their backs. And try and do it. And they're handcuffed a lot with discipline anyway because
sure.
so many restrictions with what they can and cannot do anymore in disciplining kids that the kids pretty much run the school and the teachers teach in hope that at least one of them in that classroom of 22 is paying attention.
It just seems like the worst thing ever. Well, like I said, they have my hats off to them because I could not do that. So.
I know, especially here. It's nutty.
Yeah, it's a bad scene.
Yeah.
All right. Big plans for the weekend?
Well, I got to cover a couple of rallies. You know?
Oh, is it still immigration rallies?
Yeah, and there's some big ones planned for Monday.
Well, because when they say rallies, in Portland, people think that, you know, we get a rally of like 30,000 people, 40,000 people. But, I mean, in L.A., it was like 300,000 people were showing up.
A little over 500,000.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy down there. People, that, if anything, should indicate to people why that immigration problem is pretty serious. The fact that, you know, 30,000 or 300,000 people, 600,000 people show up and... You got to imagine that for every person who shows up, there's like five people not able to come in. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's madness.
You know, the thing that a lot of people are talking about now with all that is 75% of those people who are voicing their opinions can't vote anyway.
Right.
So when the senators take all the stuff back to their constituents over these next couple of weeks, I think they're going to hear a lot from people who are saying, look, man, let's be smart about this.
Right, absolutely. All right, Jim Roop in Los Angeles, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
All right, there you go. That's Jim Roop. I have to take this call because this guy's been waiting for like an hour. Hi, Rick Emerson. Who's this?
Oh, this is Sean. How's it going?
Hi, man? Sean. How's life? How are things?
Life is good.
Would you say that you're like a 6 out of 10 or better today?
Today I'm probably out of about an 8.5 or 9.
8.5. Fantastic. Good for you. How can I help you today, Sean?
I had a couple suggestions for the set list. I didn't get this listen yesterday, so
right.
I don't know if either of these got suggested.
Well, what are your suggestions?
Okay, well, definitely got to be something by Motorhead.
We had a guy say Ace of Spades, which is kind of their best known hit, but okay.
Yeah, I was actually going to suggest this one that nobody's ever heard, but I think it's the best thing they ever did called Love Can't Buy You Money.
Love Can't Buy You Money. That's fantastic. Love Can't Buy You Money.
It's off their 96 album, Overnight Sensation, and it was, like, actually the first album of theirs I ever heard.
Oh, Overnight Sensation, that's the one that came out, like, between Bastards and Sacrifice, probably?
It was something like that.
Yeah.
It's one that even on their website, they have this guy that chills for everything, and he, like, wrote two sentences about it and then went on. And
well,
it was really depressing because it was, like... It's one of the best albums they ever did, and one of the heavier albums they've done, because all their stuff recently has been definitely into metal territory.
Well,
and
the great thing about Motorhead is Lemmy is almost 60, and they're still putting out, like, an album every year.
Yeah, have you seen them when they've come up here? Like,
not in Portland. I saw them when I lived in Washington.
Okay, yeah. I got to see them once here and once in San Francisco.
Was it loud? Was it so loud your kidneys hurt?
Yeah, pretty much. It was
excellent.
It's funny because, like, up here, they're one of their opening bands was Slayer. That was awesome.
Yeah.
And Slayer has this gimmick. I don't know if they've always had it, but they have these fans underneath the singers, underneath the sink, like the guitarists. So they
right.
look down, and like there's their hair starts getting blown up behind their head, and like it's very silly and theatrical, especially
Fantastic.
Considering it's Slayer.
But, of course. What's your other suggestion?
Loudness.
The Japanese. Okay, I have to do it. Rock and roll party night. You are the heroes tonight. That loudness, Japanese
yes.
loudness? Yeah. Listen to that. See, I've got loudness somewhere. If I can find it, I'll play it on the show. We've played loudness on the show before. Excellent.
Yes.
Loudness. Excellent. All right. Thank you, Sean. Where are you working today?
Well, I'm off for the day. I actually work at a telemarketing place, so... And I have to be there at 4 in the morning,
well,
so I'm off for the day.
That sounds like fun. What do you sell? Can you tell us what kind of thing you sell?
I'm actually, it's not selling, it's recharging minutes on prepaid cell phones, as exciting as that sounds.
Oh, well, I mean, that's got to be a low-stress job. You go in, you punch your clock, you get your money, you get out.
It's nice to a point, except when somebody's really upset because they're bankrupt, and they're like, what do you mean I can't get minutes?
Good times. All right, Sean, you spread the word, brother.
Oh, I will.
All right, there you go. Thank you.
All right.
That's got to be, I don't know. I mean, some jobs you think, whatever.
I had to do cold calling once. I worked for this place called the Social Economic Sciences and Research Center.
Uh-huh.
It was awful. People scream at you all the time.
Well, I mean, that, though, it's like the worst, because it's like people, I mean, I imagine if somebody, first of all, if you have a prepaid cell phone, I mean, I don't know who they market those to exactly. But I mean, I think maybe you're maybe not necessarily dealing with the upper rungs of, you know what I'm talking. Phil Knight's not calling up to get minutes added to his cell phone bill. Let's put it that way. It is in fact my neighbor's, and so that's just got to be a little. It's got to be a little weird because those guys. And if a guy's calling up, he goes to work for them. Somebody who suddenly needs minutes on his cell phone now at 4 a.m. There's no good reason for that. That's because he's forgotten where the shovel and the lye are kept, and he's got a dead hooker in his basement. And, you know, like the old lady's coming home in 3 hours, and he's got to get her out of there because if the old lady comes home, she'll tell the cops about the meth lab. And so that's who he's talking to. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk to Tim Riley at the City Desk.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting breaking news. Dan Brown, author of The Da Vinci Code, has won his case against two authors who claimed he copied their ideas. That leaves him with a big legal fee to pay. He sold over 500 million copies in its first week of paperback release in the U.S.
God.
Bolstered by the chattering of the chattering class, the industry watchers.
Has anyone here read that book?
No.
No, what's it even about?
I try to.
Don't. It's terrible. It's terrible. And I know.
I heard something today on the news about, like, Jesus had a kid.
Yeah, and
kid
I know. And I run the risk of alienating, like, you know, not looking like I'm out of touch with the people. Because it's like the, you know, he is the highest paid author in human history. More so than Stephen King, even.
What else has he written? Is it just this book?
He's written a bunch of crap that no one cares about, but which they will buy now because of the Da Vinci Code. And I don't mind pulp now and again. I don't mind some bad, you know, when I say bad, I mean, there's nothing wrong with what they call beach books, enjoyable, sort of fast-moving. I am not a snob. I'm not a snob at all. I've read my share of books that you can get through in like 2 days.
This would be more appropriate if you're shipwrecked. And there's nothing else left on the island but you and a book.
But
it really requires a lot of concentration.
Because it's soft and absorbent. That's why you want it. And so I am not a snob. I'm not above your Stephen King, your Dean Koontz, your Richard North Patterson, your Eric Segal I have read. And those are shameful books, and I've read them all. This is just terrible. It's terrible. And you're reading it, and you realize you're reading the work of someone who is like fundamentally, like only slightly more literate than a gibbon, and yet he's been paid like $1 billion to write this book. And I got about, I will confess, I am that guy. I did not read the entire thing. I got halfway through, and I said, this is unbelievably painful to read, and I can't do it anymore. And I sent it back.
It's like he looked in the source for every word he used.
I know. It really is like, imagine like a really terrible, unimaginative, bottom of the barrel. Like, you know those guys who write those Left Behind books?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if one of those guys decided, like, if you merge one of those guys with Clyde Lewis. Because it's very like a conspiracy novel. But then done like with absolutely no style or writing ability at all. It's terrible. And I know that everybody loves it. I am not one of those people. Anyway.
Meanwhile, the White House declined to challenge assertions that President Bush authorized the leaks of intelligence information to counter administration critics on Iraq. That's because legal experts say the president had the unquestionable authority to approve the disclosure of the secret CIA information to reporters, but they add that the leak is highly unusual and amounted to using sensitive intelligence data for political gain. How could that be?
I can't imagine.
A mugshot of 70s pop star Leif Garrett apparently hasn't been enough motivation to have him stay clean. The former teen idol back in Los Angeles jail after testing positive in a recent drug test, even under court scrutiny in conjunction with an arrest in January when he was picked up on an L.A. subway, then he had heroin on him. He began a 45-day jail stint.
Well, and the thing is, it's just like endless... Like, those behind the musics always try to be the final word and everything. But you and I, we all know this. When you watch the behind the music and the guy says at the end, he goes, now 3 years clean, Leaf's life is better than ever. And he says his greatest joy comes from blah, 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 his children and family, da, da, da. And you always know the guy's not clean. Always. Whenever they talk about some bastard that was doing drugs, look, no one quits using drugs. If you know somebody who used drugs, especially, the heavy hitters, the crack, your heroin, your meth, they're still doing it. I don't care what they've told you. I don't care what program they've gone to. No one stops using drugs. No one does. It's just, every time we see a story like this, we know that that's the case. So, if you are a heroin user and a junkie, you will be a junkie for the rest of your life. That's just the way it goes. These guys all end up getting pinched again. And he looked terrible the last time I saw him when he was on Behind the Music and they were doing that sad...
He always looks terrible.
Well, he looked terrible when he was a teen idol. Even then he looked weird.
Yeah, I missed that. I've only seen, recap shows, on VH1.
You've only seen Bandana Leaf?
Exactly.
Yeah. But he... at the end of that Behind the Music, they were doing that whole... Where he's got... Because the Behind the Music's end with two things. Beat the drug addiction, and then exciting new record or musical project.
Was he the one who was driving the car and got...
He's got the friend in the wheelchair with the bat, where it's the power mullet. He's like, the friend is bald or sort of, but he's got literally the long hair down to his ass.
Wasn't it the VH1 special, too, where he hadn't seen him since the accident, and then they reunited?
And they're doing the stage, what happened that night, man? And it's like the guy in the wheelchair is trying to know, and then Leaf's all crying, and then, but then they all, those Behind the Music things, they all in the same way where it's like... and he's getting, he's revitalized and revigorated. He's striking out again in the field of music. And this time he says he's doing things his way. And then they show him in the studio with an acoustic guitar playing a song he wrote that is terrible, that you will never hear anywhere.
With another color of bandana.
Totally. And with black nail polish because he's trying to get his cred back. Because they always spin the same story. Him, your Sean Cassidy, any of these guys. They all spin the same story. Well, I was rocking out in the clubs, and then the record company got a hold of me, and I didn't want to sing to do Ron Ron, but they molded me.
It was just sad to see, an old, haggard-looking man talking about his golden days when he was, 12.
And when your golden days, seriously, those are the guys, and I really do feel sorry for them. When your golden days are over by the time you're 15, when you're a Rodney Allen Rippey, and you don't know who Rodney Allen Rippey is, and that's kind of the point. Rodney Allen Rippey was this kid who was in a burger. It was a Burger King commercial.
It was Burger King.
He was a cute little black kid in a Burger King commercial. He was America's favorite little kid for a day. And now isn't he dead?
No, he's still alive.
Rodney Allen Rippey, dead or alive? No one knows.
Alive.
All right.
I say alive.
Okay. Let's do one more and then we'll break.
All right. On TV tonight, on Biography, Hairdos and Heartache, the Women of Country Music.
Okay.
Flossin Magazine sounds like an infomercial.
That's Flossin Magazine.
That's on CNW 14. Yeah.
We love CNW 14. They're fine. They're not.
Flossin Magazine.
And we have to, Nate corrects me every time Sarah cuts with it. CNW 14, mm-hmm. Fine channel, not cable access.
Nope.
A fine network on which the Fuel Show airs in there. And Flossin Magazine, apparently.
City of Fear, the BTK killers on that.
BTK, that guy, oh man, when we were off the air, I love serial killers. Mm-hmm. BTK, now you know him, the bind, torture, kill guy.
Yeah.
What's his name? Dennis Radin?
Yep.
In Wichita, Kansas. I got the greatest photos of him. I have the greatest serial killing photos, and they're not of victims. They are disturbing, but they're not of victims. They're of him. Okay, so here's the thing, and I don't have these posted. I'll find them if anybody wants to see them.
Yeah.
So Dennis Radin, he's fantastic anyway because he killed a whole bunch of people, which is wrong. Don't kill. But he was also an animal control officer or something. And first of all, there's the creepiest footage that somebody sent me. They taped it off the news in Wichita, where They hadn't caught him yet. They didn't know he was the BTK killer. And so they're reporting on the BTK killer on like their coin news or whatever it is. It's like, blah, 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 BTK killer struck again. In other news, if you have an unleashed dog, fines could be skyrocketing. With more on that, animal control officer Dennis Radin, and they go to him. And it's like two back-to-back stories on the news, like the BTK killer, and then unbeknownst to them, they go to the BTK killer as like a guy weighing in on a story. It was so messed up. Wow. It like gave me nightmares just watching it. While I was watching it, you could hear your brain warping. Okay, but he did the best thing. We're in his basement of his house. He had this remote control camera. And he would, these photos of him, they look like Abu Ghraib photos. He's standing on a chair dressed up in women's panties and like a mask, like a Norman, like a Leatherface mask and like women's lingerie and panties and like posing and like taking a bunch of photos of himself. And he did a bunch where he was like pretending to be bound. So he's dressed up as a woman with a fake wig on, bad lipstick, and then like pretending that he's bound. So he's sort of like dressing like one of his own victims and then he's like photographing himself. And then he kept a big file cabinet full of these pictures. And somebody got them and sent them to me. And which is either good or bad.
You could publish a copy table.
They knew that this show was the place to send them. Andrew from the band emails in and says, that's it. We have to do Striper now. No doubt about it.
Okay. Also tonight, America's Ugliest Kitchen. And you can see Ben Affleck either in Jersey Girl or Bill Maher.
Okay. Well, the less said about that, the better. Should we break?
Maybe these guys have been holding for a while.
Okay.
Let's see what they want.
Let's pick up the phone to Rick Them! Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, it's John. I've got a little Striper trivia for you.
The mind reels. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that Howard Dean was their lead singer on that album.
Okay, hold on. Wait a second. Don't go anywhere. I want you to stay right there.
All right.
Let's see here. Wait for it, not yet. I'll give you the signal. Oh, I can't do both at once. I can't play two WAV files at once.
Well, that was a good try.
But you know what I was trying to do.
You know the bit
I was trying to go for there.
Imagine it.
And then it was a whole lot of...
Thanks for the effort.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. Okay, there you go. Thank you. Rick Emerson. Well, you know what I was going for.
Yep. Yeah.
Rick Emerson Show, who's this?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey, this is Johnny. The rock and roll national anthem of the world, rock and roll all night, party every day.
Well, it does seem wrong that they didn't have a Kiss song on the list, so you're right. They do have to have a Kiss song.
The best rock and roll band in the world.
How can you not? No, I'm with you. All right, thank you, sir. All right, there you go. Bye. All right, let's break now.
Yes.
You know, we came here to... Well, whatever. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Yeah, that's such a good idea, too. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We will be back after this. We got Scott Daly coming up next hour, as well as Aaron Geek in the city, Duran. And we'll try to get to this news pile and so forth. We are now 13 days away from Rick Emerson Listener Party 9 happening at Sabalas Mount Faber, 49th and Hawthorne. You stay right there. We will be back. It's 503-733-2970. Don't go anywhere. The Rick Emerson Show right here on Johnson 970.